The cool scientist from Science Spinning is on the line at the moment. Good morning to you, Sean.
Good morning, Declan. How are you?
Thank you for joining us today. Some of the science stories of the week. One of particularly of interest to people because of a recent controversy, but something that could be very promising for the future is cervical screening, a do-it-yourself alternative. Sean, I could be suspicious of that, but tell us the background and how it would work.
Yeah, okay, so we all know that the cervical check thing is a bit controversial in Ireland, and there are many reasons, I suppose, why women wouldn't want to go and get the test done. You know, it's not clear exactly how many women don't go in, but it could be up to a quarter of them if we judge it by what's happening in the UK. So wouldn't it be great if there was a home kit that you could use where you wouldn't even have to go to a GP? And it seems now that this actually is a possibility, because a scientist at Queen Mary University in London, a reputable university, they've tested what they're calling a DIY method for smear testing on 600 women, and they use self-collected urine samples, and they said that the results are very promising. And the idea is that in the future, women could simply order these test kits online, use them at home. They wouldn't have to go to the GP. They wouldn't have to get examinations that they might not feel comfortable with, and they could send the sample in by post, and then it could be analysed. So, you know, what they're trying to do as well in the UK is they're trying to reach these quarter, 25% of women over there do not go and get the test done for various reasons. You know, might be embarrassment, might be whatever, procrastination, but that's quite a high figure. So with this test, this is a kind of a home screening, if you like. This can pick up the early signs of cancer in women at home. And what it does is it measures chemical changes that are in the urine. And those chemical changes will tell you if there's an increased risk of a precancerous lesion. And the scientists say that the test is very accurate. Now, they haven't got to the stage, they do admit, that it's not as effective yet as the UK's existing smear testing program. But they say that it's getting there. They're making the test better all the time. And the prediction is that this home test could be available in the UK as early as 5 years from now. And of course, you know, if it's an online thing, then people in women in Ireland could buy it. And it'd be useful for women, especially, I think, in countries around the world where there's no cervical screening program whatsoever.
Okay, because you can be very suspicious of home testing and things like that. But the cancer screening for bowel seems to be working okay.
Yeah. Well, home testing, I mean, they're getting better. I think you have to look at who did the study and who's talking about the science, because there are charlatans out there. But this seems very legitimate. And this is part of an NHS initiative, National Health Service, and it's Queen Mary University in London. So I think it is a legitimate test, and it won't go out until they're sure. So it might be up to 5 years. But once it comes out, I think it will be a reliable test.
Very good. Sean Duke, the cool scientist, is with us this morning. And Sean is looking at the science stories of the week. Now, a different type of energy generation that could save the planet. And we're learning from the sun. Tell us more, Sean.
Yeah, well, we all know nuclear energy, and this is based on fission, what's called fission. So you split the atom, you break the atom, and when you break the atom, you liberate all this massive amounts of energy. But the problem with that is that you also have radioactive waste, and this is why in Ireland we're pretty much, I think, still very anti-nuclear. But fusion, this is the other type of nuclear energy. This is what happens on the sun. So you essentially bring two atoms together, hydrogen and is actually hydrogen, and when you force them to come together with these massive temperatures that are on the sun, that causes helium to be made, and then you get this big release of energy, just like fission. But the great advantage is that you've no nuclear waste with it. Now, it's very, very difficult to replicate what's happening on the sun here on Earth, as you can imagine, because the temperatures, for one thing, are enormous. But they're making progress on it around the world. There's a huge project going on in France with 32 countries, but it's all very slow. So the UK, of course, we know that Brexit is happening. So the UK have decided to go their own way on this, and they've announced a £200 million pound investment, which is huge. And they say that they will be able to produce electricity from a fusion reactor by 2040. So that's 21 years from now. So if that happens, then you will have, the British will have this enormous resource of clean energy at hand, and it'll be a real boon for them, because that will mean, of course, that the emissions problem that is still there, and in Ireland it's a huge problem that we haven't tackled, that'll just go away. And this really could be a game changer in terms of climate change. But of course, the question is, can we do it quickly enough? 21 years from now, it might be delayed. It might not come on stream the way the British plan. But if it does, it would be incredible. And there are other countries that are trying to work on their own fusion reactors, China, India, Russia, etc. But if the British do it, of course, what will happen is, because we're connected to them by these interconnectors, is that we will buy this electricity in Ireland. So it'll be good news for us too.
Very good. Okay. Cool. Thanks to Sean Duke. Now, climate change as well, and farming practices under the microscope.
Yeah, farming, agriculture is another thing that we really need to change. The common agricultural policy, we know that from years ago, some people will remember, it encouraged production, overproduction really, and it led to these wine lakes and butter mountains, which was kind of ridiculous. And they changed it then, and the cap now, it still encourages production and to use land, intensive farming it's called. But they also have some subsidies for farmers who are going to introduce measures to protect wildlife. But that hasn't been enough to stop a really, really worrying decline in populations of birds, for example. About half the bird species are in trouble across Europe, it seems. In certain areas, insects, 75% of insects are in trouble. So this is really worrying. And scientists have come together and they've said to the EU, look, you're going to have to change the cap. The cap costs Europe $60 billion a year. That's enormous money going into it. But what it's doing is it's turning all the rural areas around Europe into these what scientists call uninhabitable maximum yield monocultures. So what they mean there is that you'll have an area where only one type of crop is grown, for example, and all the other things that used to grow there are eliminated. So there's nowhere for the insects, for example, to live. The birds don't get the food that they would have normally. And this intensive farming is really damaging wildlife. So they're going to have to change it. Will they change it? I don't know. But again, the British, it's interesting because they're going their own way now because of Brexit. The UK are saying that, okay, their farmers are going to miss out on subsidies, about 3 billion in euro subsidies. But the UK government says it's going to step in with its own agricultural policies now, where it's going to offer payments to farmers to address the wildlife issue there. So in Ireland, we will have to go along with the cap because we're in the EU. But if the cap continues as it is, then it looks like our wildlife is really going to get worse and worse.
Oh my gosh. Okay, no doubt we'll hear more on that. One quick story to finish, Sean. Sean Jude, the cool scientist. An ancient village found in Florida. From when?
Yeah, this caught my attention because I grew up in the States. I only came back to Ireland when I was 11. So when I was taught history in school over there, we began day one with Columbus. Like, nothing existed in America before Columbus, which even as a child I thought was kind of strange. I thought there must have been people. So now, of course, they're finding that there were people long before Columbus. And they found this Florida village, which predates Columbus by several hundred years, goes back as far as 900 AD, they reckon. They flew a drone down the Florida coastline and they were able to spot this. The drone was able to pick up the signs of this village of about 300 people, and they were making pottery and beads from these shells, from seashells essentially, and they were being, it seems, sold all over what's now America, and they found them as far north as Chicago. So there was all of this activity and trade and commerce going on long before Columbus landed.
Well, we all knew anyway, didn't we? Indeed. Thanks, Sean. Good man yourself. Thanks for the contribution this morning. We'll talk again very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Sean Duke there, the cool scientist.